Content of this program is intended for people who are print and visually impaired. It is underwritten by the law firm of Naren Wenzel, PA, with offices in Raleigh and Smithfield, and by our friends Mary and David Stevens. Hello, my name is Joe Austin, and I'm your host and producer for today's episode of Legal Matters, an original program produced in the Triangle Radio Reading Service studio. For the next half hour, we'll explore topics to champion your legal rights so that you can obtain equal access and full participation in our community and to achieve your goals of independent living. Every fourth Tuesday of each month, you can find us here providing news and information from federal and state agencies, as well as nonprofit organizations that promote information on laws supporting independent living. In today's episode, our guest is Tammy Koger. Tammy, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
We're so glad to have you. Tammy is director of North Carolina Assistive Technology. Well, it's the North Carolina Assistive Technology Program, and it's a part of the Department of Health and Human Services. Is that correct, Tammy?
That's correct. Uh-huh.
Well, I think this is probably one of the most important programs that we've put on, maybe in my tenure here. You all do some important work, and well, let's get started. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Tammy. A little bit about your background, where you're from, your education, and how you came to be the director of this important program.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I actually have about 25 years in the rehabilitation and assistive technology field. For the last 12 years, I've been the director of the North Carolina Assistive Technology Program, being able to supervise and manage a wonderful program and a great group of people across the state. So my personal history kind of led me to this field. I'm a daughter of an individual who had a visual impairment himself due to diabetes, and I fell into the field of rehabilitation several years ago, working in nonprofit organizations as well as the state rehab program, and then found the wonderful world of assistive technology probably about 16 years ago when I was working for Columbia Lighthouse for the Blind up in Washington, D.C., and really realize that assistive technology is sometimes the key that can open the door to many individuals to do the things they'd like to do in the environment they'd like to do them in. So that kind of led me to this field, and been here again for 12 years and love it.
So 12 years with the program in North Carolina, is that right?
That's correct.
Tell us a little bit about the North Carolina Assistive Technology Program.
Thank you. North Carolina Assistive Technology Program, or most people know us as NCATP. We are a division under the Vocational Rehabilitation in the Department of Health and Human Services. So we're a tiny little program. We have about 18 people statewide, but we serve all 100 counties. We serve individuals with varying abilities from birth through seniors, and we are the state program that manages the Assistive Technology Act funds, which are the federal funds for assistive technology that really focuses on providing access and acquisition of assistive technology. So individuals will have access to assistive technology through our device demonstration and our short-term device loan program. And we also provide assistance in trying to help find funding resources for individuals and making individuals aware of programs and services out there in the field of assistive technology.
So, Tammy, just a little bit of background about our program, Legal Matters. Over the past several years, we've talked about the Rehab Act and we've talked about the Americans with Disabilities Act, the full range, Title I, Title II, Title III. So we've talked about disabilities and accommodations in the workplace and in schools and in access to commercial buildings and access to governmental buildings. And I think assistive technology addresses each one of those areas, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. You can actually find, I think, assistive technology in all of those areas. You know, we always say that assistive technology is pretty much any device, service, or strategy that will help you do what you'd like to do in the environment you'd like to do it in. And so it can fit in employment and education and recreation and transportation and housing. It was just kind of one of those supplemental services to all of those legislations and all of those services that you just mentioned. Yeah,
right. I've had the benefit of hearing Tammy speak at the EEOC instructional training symposium in Charlotte a couple of weeks ago, and you did a wonderful job.
Thank you.
And they had some devices out for people to take a look at, and but one of the things that of course the EEOC is most interested in is Title I of the Americans with Disabilities Act that has to do with employment, and you addressed some good news that about the employment situation. Can you share that with our listeners?
Sure. Well, the good news is that, you know, I think we're running around 36% unemployment rate. 3.6% unemployment rate, which is really low compared to what it's been in several years. So that's fantastic news for the general population. It makes it a little hard for employers when they are starting to recruit and try to find valuable candidates. But the good news for employers as well is there's still a huge untapped labor market out here, which is bad news for people with disabilities, because people with disabilities are still hovering around 70% unemployment rate, mm-hmm. and that hasn't changed for years. So the good news for employers is there's a huge untapped labor market out here of individuals who are trained, well-educated, and now have the technology available that can fill many of these positions, hopefully for them.
So it's a tight labor market that it's not full employment, so to speak, but it's pretty doggone close to it. And so the employers have a need for people who can get the job done. And then on the other side of the axis, you've got disabled people who are having a hard time getting a job. So the service that you all are providing is a bridge to bring those two together.
Right? Absolutely. Technology changes every day, and we're living in this world of fast-paced technology, and it has opened up the field for employment as well as other aspects of life for individuals who in the past may not have had those opportunities. Now there's tools available that are out there that may assist them in moving into the field that they'd like to look at.
So if we think of this axis of employers on one end and employees on the other, where does your program come in, or do you cover both ends of the axis and every point in between?
A little of both.
Okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Individuals, of course, can come and access our program directly. We also have employers who have called and like us to come in to work with individuals who may currently be employed. You know, we're also seeing in the employment market an aging workforce. People mm-hmm. are staying at work a lot longer. But as we are aging, we are also experiencing some of those age-related difficulties, you know, with vision and hearing and maybe some other things. So we also have employers that will call us in to assess the work setting, to assess if there's any technology that may be able to be used for their employee who's currently working to continue to work, as well as we have individuals who can access our program if they're looking to determine what field they want to go into and what technology might be available to help them in that area as well.
So if there is an individual, perhaps even a listener, that would feels like they might have some questions or would benefit from some guidance from your program, what would they do?
The best thing to do, we always recommend for people, if they can, to go onto our website so they can learn more about us. And we are part of the Department of Health and Human Services, so our website is a little long, but if you just search for North Carolina Assistive Technology Program, well, the very first thing that pops up on Google. And so I always recommend that people go to the website. If they're local here to the Raleigh area or Raleigh Center, we do have a Raleigh AT Center right here in the city. It's on Water's Edge Drive, actually, right between Raleigh and Cary. They can call that number directly at 919-859-8300. They can call our office directly at the state office at 919-855-3600. We also, before I forget, I want to plug an event that we are going to be having in September. It's September the 26th. It's downtown Raleigh. It's at the McKimmon Center on NC State campus, and that's the AT Expo. It's a one-day event from 9 to 3, and it's free, open to the public, so anyone can come in during that time. And we're going to have between 36 and 40 vendors there on site, so they can just learn more about what assistive technology is, what type of products are out there, and some of the service providers in the local area as well.
I want to come back to that. That's an annual event that you do. Is that correct?
It is. This is the second year we've had it at the McKimmon Center, mm-hmm. and the second year that it's only been a one-day event. Yeah.
Okay. The McKimmon Center is a wonderful facility, and it's highly accessible.
Very, yes.
So great
one
place.
One of the reasons why we chose it, yes.
Absolutely. I didn't think it was a coincidence, so that's great. Well, just to give you a little bit of an idea about Triangle Radio Reading Service, it is called the Triangle Radio Reading Service, but our reach is also down east. So we've got listeners, I hope we've got listeners in eastern North Carolina as well. Do you all have offices, not necessarily down east, but in the eastern part of the state, east of 95?
Yeah, absolutely. We have offices all across the state. So in the east, we actually have one in Wilmington, North Carolina, and then we have one in Greenville. And we also have an office in Sanford that people can access as well. And again, the best place, because of course all of them have different phone numbers, but we all have that one website address. So the best thing to do is just kind of go on our website if at all possible. Or to call, you can call me at 919-855-3500. And I can give that information out as well to link directly to those local centers.
Great. Well, like I say, I think this is a very important program that we're doing today. You've got a very important program.
Thank you.
We're pre-recording this. This will be aired later in the month. But we also, after it gets aired, it's available by podcast. And our website is www.triangleReadingService.org. So I'm hoping that a lot of people will have access to this particular program so that they can get your contact information and hear about the good work that you all do.
Thank you.
And of course, our listeners are visually impaired. So tell us a little bit about the assistive technology that's available for the visually impaired, the print impaired.
Absolutely. Well, this changes daily, which that's a good thing. Technology is growing so fast that, it's hard to keep up with it. But we cover, of course, all ages, all function areas. So, of course, vision impairments, low vision and blind is an area that we also work with. And many of the things that you might find in one of our centers would include magnifiers, lighted magnifiers, maybe color identifiers, money identifiers. We also have telephones for low vision and hard of hearing as well. Some of the handheld magnifiers devices. We still have some of the older, what they call CCTVs or the larger video magnifiers. We still have some of them, and we still have individuals who have a need for those as well. We also have some adapted toys for younger individuals who may be visually impaired or mobility impaired as well. We do have a couple of Braille displays in our offices. So it really varies, I think, based on what the individual is having difficulty with their vision loss and how we might be able to assist them. We even have in a few of our office some recreational items, such as large print playing cards, which, you know, individuals who like cards, that's a good thing to have if they're losing their vision. We've also worked with individuals with sewing and vision loss. So, you know, with larger eyed needles and magnifiers to help, you know, individuals who still like to do their crafts but maybe losing their vision. We have those items as well.
And that's, I hope it's not a lost art, but, you know, a lot of people make their own clothes that would be source of or even a source of income or some vocational interest.
Maybe.
Right there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I've got a list of what is provided or afforded under your program, and I'm looking at there's some things that are fee based, and then you've got the no cost services. So tell us about the fee-based services and who would be your clientele for that and how they would tap into that.
Sure. Yeah, we do offer some fee-for-service activities, and that's going to include an assessment if someone needs a more in-depth assessment and a report to go along with that. They're not really sure what they need in the area of assistive technology. Then we can provide an assessment and evaluation service for them and a written report. We also do training, one-on-one training for assistive technology, and then train the trainer for mm-hmm. individuals and professionals who are in this field or who may have an interest or a need to know more about assistive technology and may actually how to recommend and use devices specifically. Most of the individuals that we serve under our fee-based services typically will come from one of the state programs like Division of Vocational Rehabilitation, the Independent Living Program. We also serve Medicaid recipients for communication device only. Assistive technology, unfortunately, a lot of these items are not covered under your insurance. They're considered assistive technology, not durable medical equipment. And so, of course, for it to be durable medical covered under insurance, it has to be DME or durable medical equipment. But the communication boards many times are covered under Medicaid or under insurance. And so we provide assessments for Medicaid and for some of the insurers specifically in that area. We do some fee-based services for some of the local school systems and some for private employers as well. We have done some services for as well.
I could see. I think schools and institutions know what they don't know, or know that there is a need for help from an organization like yours. How about private employers? Sometimes they don't know what they don't know.
Right. Right. You know. Sometimes private employers will contact us, especially if they have an employee that may be experiencing some difficulty, mm-hmm. And they will contact us to see if we can go in and assess that situation, assess that employment situation, the job, the skills, the task that the individuals are doing, and make recommendations specific to those tasks. And they typically, the private employer will pick up that cost for that assessment portion. I think the private employers are probably the ones who know about us the least.
Yes.
Yeah. Because like you said, you know, you don't know what you don't know. So we were very pleased to be asked to speak at the EEOC conference this, you know, a couple of weeks ago, because there we were specifically talking speaking to many individuals who work in the field of EEOC and work with employers. So the more that we can get the word out about this service being available to help employees and employers on their not only keeping employees that may be experiencing some of these issues, but helping employers look at new employees, how to make their websites accessible, how to make applications accessible, what technology might be available out there for individuals as they are thinking about expanding, you know, their recruiting efforts to include people with disabilities. We would certainly like to get that message out that we're available.
That I think is vitally important, what you just said about recruiting. When you were talking about services that you provide for private employers, what came to mind was I've got a valued employee. Maybe they've got a problem that is a progressive problem with their eyesight, and then they know they've got a problem and they got to know where to go, and you're the perfect resource for that. But then they, if in the recruitment process, and unless they just don't know that there are people who are available and that can do the job, that just need some assistance from an organization like yours.
Yeah, absolutely. And, again, that's probably an area that knows us least, because they haven't maybe had that, quote, need to know in the past, or they haven't known that they had that need to know. So we are trying to reach out to more of private employers, to more of the general public. So, you know, people who may not be experiencing a medical condition or a disability today, unfortunately, may have that tomorrow. And so we also want people who are just in the general public to know that there are resources such as the NCATP program that might be able to assist them. Yeah.
One of your slides I thought was really good. And, all of your slides were really good, but the one that I thought really caught my eye was accessibility is a process. It's not just a finite, discrete thing that you do. I mean, it's start to finish, soup to nuts kind of process. And you all attempt to provide services for the whole spectrum, I'd say.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Assistive technology, we always tell people that it's not a one-shot thing. We'll also get questions sometimes that somebody may call in and say, I have a vision loss or I know someone with a vision loss that's exactly like mine or exactly like someone else's. No two people's vision loss is the same. And what they're having difficulty with is going to be different. So we always say that assistive technology is an individualized process, and it is a process. It's not just a one-shot time. Here's your lucky little technology, and you're good to go. You have to kind of think about, I think in the area of employment, what we think about is it's from the time somebody gets out of bed to the time that they go to bed at night, and we don't, if all of us just don't get up and all of a sudden we're at work, we have that process of going to work and there's things that we have to do. And that's the same thing with assistive technology. What is it I need when I wake up? What is it I need when I eat, when I get dressed, when I drive my car, when I get it to the building, getting into the building? What do I need when I do my job task? What do I need when I socialize with people at lunch? It's all, we look at all those steps when we think about the field of assistive technology and what someone might need.
And of course, everything is, we're getting more and more digitized and less paper. we've talked about this. Your program does not do website design. But you all do, or what kind of leg up can you give for websites and access to websites and things of that nature?
Yeah, we certainly do not do website design. That's a whole business in itself, as most people know. What we can help individuals and employers with and agencies is looking at their website and giving feedback on what tools and techniques you may want to implement in order to ensure your website is accessible. We certainly cannot design that website for you, but to help you look at what resources are out there, what techniques you may need in order to try to make the site as accessible as possible. We certainly can do that. We also do you're right, the digital age is here. Mm-hmm. One of the things with the field of assistive technology, of course, is how it has changed significantly because of the digital age. You know, we always say there's an app for that. Mm-hmm. So we do a lot of work with smart home technology and with apps. We always tell people there is an app for that. It doesn't mean it's the app for you or that it's going to be the app that's going to work best for you. So a lot of the work that our staff does is really in the field of looking at those apps and that digital technology and smart home technology that might be the best for individuals and how they need to use it.
And it's the website design. I know during the last administration there were proposed guidelines for websites, and they were rather daunting. Okay. And of course, they got put aside in the current administration. But as far as sort of the rules of the road, it's kind of like the Wild West out there, isn't it? I mean, in terms of protocols and guidelines for websites.
But one of the things that we always say is there's accessibility and there's usability. Mm-hmm. And you're right, it can be a little daunting when you're looking at accessibility, but there are some basic, I think, rules to follow when you look at your website or any digital type material when even things as basic as, you know, what colors do I use? You know, am I using dark blue on black? Probably mm-hmm. not a good idea because mm-hmm. even people without vision loss probably going to have a hard time with that. So there's some basic rules on that our staff can help with. And then we also always say, let's try to use it. Let's put it in a user's hand and test it and test that usability of it because, again, accessibility is one thing, but you also want to make sure that your users who use the assistive technology can use and access the site as well. And so we usually hook people up with individuals or we test it. We can provide some testing of that ourselves.
Wonderful. Well, Tammy, thank you so much for joining us today. I sincerely appreciate it. I enjoyed your talk at the EEOC instructional event, and I thought you would be a wonderful guest, and you are a wonderful guest.
Thank you.
And,
thank you very much.
We'll have you back when you have time. We've run out of time for today's episode of Legal Matters. Please be sure to tune in next time on the fourth Tuesday of every month at 2 p.m., we rebroadcast the next day at 7 a.m. We hope you've enjoyed the show and discovered information about your legal rights so that you can obtain equal access and full participation in your community. I'm Joe Austin, your host and producer. Thanks again, Tammy, for joining us, and hope you will come back sometime.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And the content of this program is intended for people who are print and visually impaired. After it's broadcast, you can readily find it as a podcast at our website, www.triangleReadingService.org, where you'll be able to listen to it again and share it with others. If you have any comments or questions about today's episode or wish to share a topic that you want us to explore, please call us at 919-832-5138. You can also reach us via email at info@trrsnc.org. And we look forward to hearing from you. And we will be on the air again next month. Thank you, Tammy.